Yes, sir. Thank you. Amen. You may be seated. Well, after we read the Word of God. Fooled you. Genesis chapter 22 this morning. Genesis chapter 2. I'd like to read a few verses from there. Isn't God good?
Amen. Amen.
He's so good. Genesis chapter number 22. I'd like to read from verse number 1 through verse 14. And it says, And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham. Make sure this thing's on. Okay. And he said, Behold, here I am. And he said, Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son and clave the wood for the burnt offering and rose up and went unto the place of which God had told him.
Amen.
Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, Abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son. And he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, My father. And he said, Here I am, my son. And he said, Behold the fire and the wood. This is a great question. But where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. And they came to the place which God had told him of. And Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac, his son, and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. And Abraham called the name of the place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord shall it be seen. And amen and amen.
Amen.
You may be seated. We trust the Lord will add his blessing to the reading of his perfect and his holy word. Amen. Just a brief message about the work and the ministry in Scotland. It's going very well. Amen.
Amen.
I want to thank you for your prayers and support of that ministry and work in Scotland. God is working. Amen.
Amen.
Even in times like this.
Right.
Imagine that. There is no darkness that God cannot bring light. There is no soul that God cannot save. And there isn't anything that God cannot do if it's his will. And thank God he has been blessing us. And I'd like to report that God is using in Scotland. We're here for a few months. We're looking to go back very shortly. As long as the door is open, we're kind of watching things over there. We're allowed to come here for a few months, and we're looking forward to going back soon and continue that ministry there in Scotland. But this morning, I'd like to ask the question, and I think it's a fantastic question. Where is the Lamb?
Amen.
Now, the Old Testament, especially Genesis, has a lot of things in seed and practice that we find in the New Testament being revealed. And especially the practical things in the Old Testament, in the book of Genesis, can help us.
Right.
I like what Jacob said when all these things were going against him. He said, all these things are going against me. But he didn't realize that God was in the darkness moving and working.
Right.
And even in times like this, thank God, God is moving and working in his people, and people are still getting saved. And I thank God for that.
Amen.
Now, this question that was asked here by Isaac in the book of Genesis wasn't really answered until the Gospel of John chapter 1. When John the Baptist cried out when he saw the Lord Jesus Christ, Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the whole world. Now, he wasn't saying that because he was saying that Jesus was cute and fluffy. He was saying it because he knew that he was going to be like the ram here, God himself, not only providing for himself, but providing himself as the sacrifice, as the Lamb of God. You know, I'm just about pretty much done with this religion that's in the world today that doesn't have a lamb. The bloodless religion. The Bible says, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And so much religion today, it is bloodless. It is lambless. It has nothing but morality and goodness, but not the blood that saves. Amen. I like that song we sing in Scotland. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fountain I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus.
Amen.
Where is your lamb this morning? Amen.
Amen.
You go over to the book of Exodus. It talks about taking a lamb. Then it talks about the lamb. But then it says, your lamb.
Amen.
Where is the lamb this morning? Do you have a lamb? Do you have the blood of the lamb, the Lord Jesus Christ, has washed away all your sins? Amen. You might say, well, I'm a good person. I go to church. I'm very religious. I keep the Ten Commandments. I would never break the golden rule. But where is your lamb? That's the question. Amen. Where is your lamb? We got to the privilege of going to Israel a few years ago. My wife and I, we found a really cheap flight, and it would surprise you how cheap it was. Ask me afterwards, and I'll tell you. I love a good deal. That's the Scottish in me, man. I love a good deal, and we got a good deal. But we went then to the outside of the gates of Jerusalem, and we went to the Western Wall, that place down there. And as we went down there, there was a big Jewish synagogue. And down as you go down that street on the right-hand side, it has two words on it. Three words. Thou shalt not. And that's religion.
Yeah.
It'll give you a list of rules.
Yep.
It'll tell you what you can do to improve your life. It'll tell you what you can do to make you a better person. But where is the lamb?
Amen.
Where is the blood, amen? Where is that blood that is so precious that Jesus had to go to the cross and shed that blood and pay for our sins so that we could have salvation this morning?
Amen.
Where is the lamb? Here in this passage of scripture, we find Abraham, who was called by God to go up to that Mount Moriah. Well, why would it be Mount Moriah? Why would God tell him about that place? Amen. Why would God say, I want you to go to this place on this mountain and offer the sacrifice? Because that was the same place Jesus was going to go, amen?
That's right.
But he came along, he took his son, and he took two young men with him, and they went early in the morning. Now, I like that. He rose up early in the morning. You know, we have a generation today that doesn't seem to know the sun comes up slowly. Amen? They think you just open the curtains and click, the sun's up. But you know, if you're up early in the morning, you know that the sun comes up gradually, amen? There's an old song you used to sing, I haven't heard it a few years now, for the sun's coming up in the morning. Once I battled Satan this morning, and I battled him all the day long, and at sundown God sent reinforcements. Sun's coming up in the morning. So he rose up early, he took the two men and Isaac his son. They went up there with the wood and with a knife, and Isaac asked the question, where is the lamb?
Amen.
That's a good question, amen. This morning, though, I don't want to get into the typology of this being a type of the sacrifice and Isaac being a type of the Lord Jesus Christ, who allowed himself to be bound to the wood and there as a sacrifice. I don't want to get into that this morning, but what I do want to get into and want to preach about, Lord willing, is what happened and what was God doing in the life of Abraham to get him to that place.
Amen.
You see, if you read the chapter before, you'll read about all the mistakes that Abraham was making.
Yes, sir.
You'll read about the fact that he was such a coward, he wasn't willing to die for his wife. He said, just tell him you're my sister so I don't die for you. What kind of man is that? Seriously. He was ready to lie and cheat and steal. But what got him to this place? You see, over in Genesis chapter 12 and 14, we find that Abraham is saved by believing in the Lord. But it took some 20 years for Abraham to get to that place. And I think sometimes as Christians, it takes us a while to catch on to what God is doing in our life. I would love it. It would be fantastic if when we get saved, we started reading our Bible, following the Lord, and moved upward in the Christian faith. That would be great, wouldn't it? But how often do we fall? Do we slip? Do we slide? And are we missing in action when it comes to God working in our life? You see, it took Abraham some time. It took some time for God to work in the life of Abraham to get him to that place.
Yes, sir.
Sometimes we are stubborn, amen.
Yes, sir.
Sometimes we work against what God is doing in our lives. How much easier would it have been to just live the life that God wanted us to live, the way God wanted us to live that life. So this morning I'd like to look at three things, what God used to get Abraham to this place. And first of all, I'd like to show you that God worked in his life and in his life of faith in the actions that he committed. You see, God said to Abraham, why don't you go there and offer your son? I don't find anywhere in my Bible where Abraham complained. Where he tried to say to God, that's too much.
Amen.
Lord, you're asking too much of me.
Nope.
You know, this wasn't just any son that Abraham had.
Right.
He had one son through his wife Sarah. And that one son is the thing that God wanted
right.
from Abraham. I don't find in here where Abraham went on a hissy fit. Stayed away from God and said, Lord, you're asking too much. I just won't do it.
Right.
He got up early. And he went to the place that God had told him of. That tells me that Abraham and the Lord had a conversation about this.
Yes, sir.
This wasn't just waking up in the morning and God said to Abraham, right, I want you to head off here. There was some conversation.
Yes.
Abraham saw the place by faith.
Amen.
And God worked in his life.
Amen.
His actions demonstrated what mattered to Abraham. You know, my wife, we've been married for 37 years now, and she loves it every year when on our anniversary, and I've done this for a long time. I always like to surprise her with flowers. Amen. And the odd chocolate here and there. But I often say to her with men, we don't want flowers. If you want to show your love to your man, say it with meat.
Yeah.
Amen. I mean, you can talk about all your flowers and all your candies and this kind of stuff. But let me tell you, when you bring meat, I believe, amen. Sometimes it takes actions. Amen. Sometimes we have to take those words and we have to put actions on them. That's what Abraham said. And Abraham did. In verse 2, he said, take now thy son, thine only son, Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of.
Amen.
Action shows us what matters. You can talk all you want.
Yep.
You can dream, you can talk, but unless you act, you don't show what really matters.
Right.
That's why I love it when God's people come to church on Sunday morning, amen?
Yeah.
You're showing what really matters.
Right.
There are so many people today who are saying, I'm a Christian, but I don't need church.
Yep.
I can worship God on my boat, on my golf course, in my hotel room, in my house. I can worship God whatever I want.
Right.
You're showing what really matters.
Right.
The Bible says we are commanded to gather together and to not forsake the assembling of ourselves together. Does that matter?
Yes, sir.
Does it really matter to God?
Yes.
If it didn't matter, he wouldn't say amen.
Right.
I kind of believe if the Bible didn't matter, then God wouldn't have wrote it. But it does matter. Our actions show us what really matters
Amen.
In our life.
Right.
Our actions show who really is our master.
Yes.
You see, Abraham could have said, wait a minute, Lord, this is my only son. This is the only, I'm 99 years old. I'm not likely to have another son. This is my son. But Abraham didn't complain.
Right.
He didn't say anything because he wasn't the one in charge of his life.
Amen.
You see, I think the reason why many people don't get it, who don't follow the Lord, is because they're the master of their own life. They're the one in control. They're the ones saying, I will and I will not. I'll do what I want. And if I feel like going to church, if I feel like reading the Bible, if I want to do this, then I'll do it.
Right.
You're telling me you are the master of your life. But Jesus is supposed to be your master.
Amen.
Jesus is your Lord. Amen.
That's right.
You know, a Lord means a Lord.
Yeah.
They called him Master, Rabbi, Lord. But is he really the one in charge of your life?
Right.
If he is, it will make a difference. We can sing that song all we want. I surrender all. I surrender all. But God's listening to every word we say
right. If
we don't really surrender all.
Yep. Right.
The Bible says when he laid his son Isaac down, he stretched forth his hand
yep. And
took the knife. He didn't do that because he hated his son.
Oh, no.
He did it because the Lord was his master.
Amen.
Who's in charge? Who's in charge of your life? Who's in charge of your house?
Right.
Yeah.
Who's in charge of what you do? Who's in charge of where you go after the service? Right. Who is your master? We don't like that word in this generation, do we?
Right.
Oh, no. We're free to do whatever we want to do.
Yeah.
But if you're saved, amen, you've been redeemed.
Yeah.
You've been ransomed. Yeah. You've been bought with a price. Ye are not your own.
Amen.
Who's your master? His actions determined what his master was. His actions not only determined what matters, but his actions demonstrated where his mind was. You know, you can be in the house of God and be somewhere else.
Oh, yeah.
Amen. You know, we preachers are not as dumb as people think we are. We can tell when the switch is off.
Oh, yeah.
When the eyes are looking, but the mind is somewhere else.
Yep.
You ever been on cruise control in your mind? You know, one of the things it's funny, but it's not funny. My wife and I, when we come back to America, is the number of people who are driving like this.
Yeah.
Oh, crash! Where's their mind?
Yep.
So many people are good masters at their phone, amen.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But their mind is not in this book.
Right.
You see, this demonstrates where Abraham's mind was. His life was showing that the Lord was his master and his mind was upon obeying what God told him to do. Jeremiah chapter 12 verse 2 says this. I was reading this just the other day and it's an amazing verse. Jeremiah chapter 12 verse 2 says, thou hast planted them, yea, they have taken root. They grow, yea, they bring forth fruit. Thou art near in their mouth and far from their reins. How often do we go to church and we sing the songs of Zion? We sing, oh, how I love Jesus. We sing all these wonderful songs we sing, but he's not the one who has the reins in our life.
Right.
He's not the one who's controlling where we go.
Yep.
He's not the one controlling what we do. We're the one in control.
Right.
In Jeremiah, God blessed the nation of Israel. They were able to grow things. They had many blessings, but God was not the one controlling the reins
right.
in our lives. America is a blessed nation.
Yes.
Even in the midst of this nonsense going on today.
Sure.
It's a blessed nation.
Amen.
And I believe the reason why God has blessed this nation is because of the churches and the honor that it gives to the word of God.
Amen.
God is blessed.
Amen.
But we live in dark times.
Yes.
And I see so many people their reins are in their own hands. You know, many years ago in Scotland, we bought a horse for our children. They were interested in boys. I have three girls. So we bought a horse, and by taking care of the horse, they had no time to think about boys.
Amen.
They went down the horse, they mucked out the horse, they cleaned the horse, they got the hay, they rode the horse, and they came back and said, "Dad, we're tired." Yes. But every once in a while, I got on that horse, believe it or not. And I did some jumping across these different things, fences and all that kind of stuff. And let me tell you, when you ride a horse, you got to be careful how you hold the reins. You don't want to pull too much. You just want to lead in just enough that'll make the horse know what you want it to do. I wonder if God has the reins in our life, how hard he has to pull before we go the direction he wants us to go. Does he have to pull really hard? Does he have to send trials and tribulations before we put our hand up and say, "Okay, Lord, I give in, I give in"? Or does he use the gentle rein to just give us the right direction to go?
Amen.
You see, that's what Abraham's faith did. He came to that place, he did what God wanted him to do, and he followed what God wanted him to do.
Amen.
His faith was demonstrated by his actions. His faith was demonstrated by his attitudes.
Amen.
Boy, there's a whole message right there. We could preach about that, amen. Yeah. So many times people, they might do the right thing, but they have a bad attitude about it.
Yeah.
Grumbling and griping. You know, in the book of Exodus, it talks about God heard their groanings and their complainings. Sometimes we might do what God wants us to do, but we don't do it because we want to do it for his glory and honor. In Judges chapter 2 and verse 19, it says this: "And it came to pass when the judge was dead that they returned and corrupted themselves more than their fathers in following other gods to serve them and to bow down unto them. They ceased not from doing their own doings, nor for their stubborn way." Stubborn way. How many times have we been stubborn with God's will for our lives? How many times have we put up the hand and said, "Lord, you're asking too much"? Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, preaching services, revivals, mission conferences. "Lord, it's too much." Compared to what he did for us, it's not too much.
Right.
What is it that stops us from following God? It could be our sin. Amen. The young man this morning in Sunday school taught a really good message about the giants.
Yes.
Giants come at unexpected times.
Yes.
I often wonder about Goliath as a young lad. Was he particularly big? Or did he kind of grow into being a giant? And sometimes the sins in our life, they start off so small.
Oh, yeah.
Seemingly, it's just a little thing. But then through time, it becomes a giant that requires a great work of faith to overcome. Sometimes it's just good to hit a nail on the head and deal with it right away, man, before it becomes a giant.
Amen.
Our attitude shows because our sin. Sometimes it's our selfishness. You know, I like that word. There are some words in the Bible I just like. One of them is long-suffering. The Lord is long-suffering with his people.
Amen.
Boy, I'm there, amen.
Yes.
Oftentimes I get to the Lord and say, "Lord, it's me again." And the Lord is long-suffering.
Amen.
But I like selfishness. It's a good word. Over in Scotland, as a young man growing up, we used to do a lot of hunting, but not like you guys do. We would hunt sometimes fish and rabbits and things like that. But one of the things I used to enjoy as a young man was tickling trout. Anyone ever tickle trout? What you do is you find a small river, we call them a burn, and you find where the seaweed is or the weeds are, and you put your hand in there and you kind of move it like that till the trout comes underneath. And then you put your hand underneath the trout as you're still moving it and flip it out. And that trout would get out and be wiggling and squiggling and all the rest of it. And you'd find a rock and batter it in the head, and that would be the trout, amen. But you know, sometimes when I think of that word selfishness, I kind of think of that as the trout wiggling and squiggling and just, oh, but Lord, I want to do it my way.
Oh, yeah.
Lord, I know what your word says, but I want to do it my way's the better way. Boy, we live in a time of technology, don't we? Man was talking about this morning, people have no patience. You know, it takes time for the Lord to work in your life. You don't just get it all, the whole load right away. You gotta learn through the valleys, the mountaintops. It takes time!
Sure.
Right. But we want it right now. Right. It's like the man who got one day and said, I want patience, I want it right now!
Yeah.
Sometime I think about when God worked in Abraham's life, it took 20 odd years for him to get to this place. Before he was ready. Many a times in that time, he showed selfishness. He showed his sin. He showed stubbornness. But eventually he came to the place where his attitude was right and he was ready to sacrifice.
Amen.
What kind of attitude do we have in regard to the word of God? When the preacher preaches, and you know, I know there are parts in the Bible when we can hear and we love it. Amen.
Sure.
When we talk about everybody else's sin,
yeah,
it's great.
Yeah.
Amen. When we talk about the drunkard, when we talk about the prostitutes, when we talk about the idolaters, it's great.
Right.
But then when God starts to zero in our sin,
right,
how do we react to that? As I said, a few years ago, I had the opportunity, the privilege to go to Israel, and it was kind of funny. Because the Bible talks about the stubborn pride of the Jewish people. Talks about their stiff neck. You ever had a stiff neck? When your parents said, I want you to go and clean your room, you're like, I don't want to do that. And we'd be driving along Highway 6 there, and we saw how stubborn the people of Israel were in driving. They beep the horn all the time. Beep, 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 beep. And once one starts, they all start. They're not even involved. They're beep, 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 beep. We saw two cars. We were in the middle lane, and there was three lanes, and they tried to get it. Both cars tried to get into the middle lane, and for 6 miles they kept coming in, and neither would yield. They'd almost hate each other, and they'd back out. They'd almost hate each other. No one was willing to give in. I thought, boy, that's like a lot of Christians, amen.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
We get so close to obeying the word of God, then we say, nope, I'm not going to do it.
Yeah.
Our attitude determines how we react to the word of God. Our attitude determines how we react to the work for God.
Amen.
You know, one of the things that I have to admit, I don't like in America very much at all, are the flowers you leave on the roads. I think they're flowers. They're kind of about yay high with orange and white circles. I think you call them road cones. And everywhere you go, there are mile after mile after mile after mile after mile after mile of these useless cones.
Yeah.
Standing around doing nothing.
Yep.
And the road on the other side is better than the road I'm driving on. I get the bumpy road.
Yeah.
And the coned off road is lovely. What's up with that? Sometimes I think we Christians are just like those road cones. What are we doing for the Lord?
Amen.
You see, Abraham couldn't make the sacrifice where he was. He had to be led of God to get up and go to Mount Moriah.
That's right.
God may have you stay in this area and serve the Lord, and that's wonderful.
Sure.
But God might just have something else for you.
Amen.
Where he wants you to go. Now, I know we live in a time of technology. You know, I hate it. Last year in Scotland, we had to close the churches down for a few months, and we had to do these live services. And you know how difficult it is for a preacher to preach to a wall?
Yeah.
It's insane.
Yes.
And we muddled through that, and we'd sing, and we'd do our things, and it was just not the same. And there are so many Christians today, I understand that they're a bit fearful, they don't want to come back to church. I understand, amen. But you know, there's nothing can replace being actually in the house of God, under the authority of the word of God, and with the ministry of the Spirit of God
Amen.
Working in your life.
Yes.
That's why we're here. It's not just to look at a picture, amen.
Right.
It's not just to look at a wall. It's to hear the preaching of the Word of God
Amen.
And the Spirit of God working in our life.
That's right.
You got to have the right attitude about that.
Yes. You've
got to have the right attitude regarding God's will for your life. Amen.
Amen.
What is God's will for you? Do you know what God's will is? I always used to say, and I believe it's very true, that happiness in the Christian life comes from two things. Number one, finding the will of God for your life. Number two, being happy about it.
Amen.
Being happy about it.
Amen.
There's a guy who came to Scotland as a missionary many years ago, and he's still there. And when we first came back as missionaries in 1988, and he came up to me at a preacher's conference, and he's an American guy, and he's a nice guy, and he came up to me and he said, God tricked me into being a missionary in Scotland. He tricked me. Well, I sent him and said, brother, there are flights leaving every day.
Right.
If you think God's tricked you into this, you can leave. I recently talked to him and I was asking how his church was and he said, well, I don't do that anymore. I've retired. You've got to find the will of God.
Amen.
You've got to be happy about it.
Amen.
There are so many people who are serving the Lord. They're in the place where God wants them to be, but they're not particularly happy about it. And the Bible says the joy of the Lord is your strength. Faith is not only determined by our actions and our attitude, but faith is demonstrated by our altitude. You see, Abraham had to leave the place he was and climb up the mountain.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Sometimes God leads us higher than we would normally go in our own strength.
You're right.
You've got to get some altitude, amen. I remember a few years ago I was preaching in a preacher's conference in Scotland, and you have to understand that the weather in Scotland is not like here. We get lots of grey, rainy days, and that's in the summer. And in Scotland we say that you can tell the time of the year by the temperature of the rain. In the summer we have warm rain, and in the winter we have cold rain. And we have lots of rain, amen. And I was in this conference and there was a lot of mumbling and grumbling because it had been like 3 months before we'd seen the sun. And I preached and I said, you know, the sun always shines in Scotland. Every day. You just have to get above the clouds. And how many times in our life do we just have to get some altitude?
Amen.
We just have to rise up from the place we were into higher ground. Lord, lift me up. To higher ground.
Amen.
New heights I'm gaining every day.
Amen.
Higher ground. Maybe you just need to get some altitude in your life. Amen. Amen. Maybe you just need to leave this world's thoughts and ideologies and get up above it. Amen. In some pure land here.
Right.
Some heavenly air.
Yes.
What leads us higher? Genesis chapter 2 verse 4 says this, then on the third day, interesting, the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. Sometimes we just have to get up. That's why I believe it's important to get up early in the morning. Now I realize you may not have a job that does that, you may work night shift and stuff like that, but I always try to get up early in the morning and get alone with God and read my Bible.
Amen.
Why? Because I want to get higher.
Amen.
I don't know what's coming. I don't know what giants are going to show up. But I want to get higher, amen.
Amen.
I want to get to that higher ground. Not only what leads us higher, but what lessons make us holy. Psalm 107, one of my favorite psalms. Verse 23 and 24 says this. They that go down to the sea in ships that do business in great waters, these see the works of the Lord and his wonders in the deep. If you want to see God work in your life, you've got to get out there in the deep end, amen.
Amen.
There are so many Christians that in the Christian life, They're in the paddling pool.
Yeah.
They're kicking around the kids' end. The kids' end. Mm-hmm. Splashing around, making a lot of noise. And a lot of water. But you got to get out into the deep, amen.
Yes, amen.
If you want to see God work in your life, you've got to get out in the deep end.
Amen.
You've got to stretch yourself. When Abraham stretched out his hand with that knife, physically he was stretching his arm, but can you imagine his heart, how it must have been torn? This is my son, this is Isaac, and I'm about to end his life. If you're going to follow the Lord, you've got to get out of your comfort zone. Some of us are so comfortable. The Bible says, woe to them that are at ease in Zion. Abraham demonstrated by his altitude the lessons he had learned that had made him holy. That's why God has us fight battles.
Yes, sir.
So that we'll learn to lead holy lives.
Amen.
That's why trouble comes in our lives. You ever come to the place where you said, Lord, why has this happened to me? Lord, why have you allowed this in my life? Well, God may have brought it into your life simply because he wants to exercise you. Sometimes as you get older, you have to take care of yourself physically. I'm not as young as I used to be. I find that, you know, when I hurt myself, it takes a long time to heal. So I try to do a little bit of exercise every once in a while to strengthen the muscles and do a few things. And oftentimes I go to the gym and I'll see these guys with these big weights. You know, Gunther and his big 300 kilogram weight. But you know, he didn't get to that 300 kilogram weight by just picking up 300 kilograms. He started with smaller weights. And he got stronger and stronger. And I think the reason why God brings these things into our life, he brought into Abraham's life, not to ruin his life, not to take away his son, but to make him stronger. That's what faith does. What leads us higher? What lessons make us holy? And what labor makes us focus on him?
Amen.
Verse 4, we read it already. It says, then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off.
Amen.
You've got to get the right focus. If you've got the right focus, you'll be in the right direction most of the time. Before I came to America, I used to be in the British Army. I was a paratrooper. I used to jump out of airplanes. And people would ask me, how difficult is it to jump out of an airplane? And actually, it's very simple. Once you step out, gravity takes care of the rest. There's nothing you do, amen. Down you go. But they taught us as we went out the door to look along the end of the aircraft to the fuselage to the tail. And as we go out, we watch that. And down we go. I love that song, Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus.
Amen.
Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace.
Amen.
Abraham saw the place afar off. He had the right focus. He went the right direction.
Amen.
You see, we can talk about the Lamb this morning, and of course Jesus is the Lamb. We can talk about how Isaac was the type of the Lord Jesus Christ, how he did the will of the Father. He laid down. He didn't fight against him.
Right.
He did exactly what the Father said.
Right.
Abraham could not have probably held him there if he had struggled against him, but he laid down voluntarily. And the Lord Jesus Christ laid down his life for you and I, not because he had to,
right.
But because he wanted to.
Right.
The devil, the world, nothing could have made him lay down and die on the cross for us. It was his love for the sinner that did that.
Amen.
But this morning, what about Abraham? You ever thought about what God worked in his life to bring him to that place? Maybe God is speaking to your heart this morning about what he wants to do in your life. Do you have the right actions? Do you have the right attitude? Do you have the right altitude and the right focus to hear, as he said, here am I.
Amen.
Use me.
Yeah.
I think we all could do that, amen.
Yes, sir.
I think we could all surrender to God's call in our life by simply being available. It's not the abilities you have that count. It's not even the education that counts. It's are you available to do exactly what God says?
Amen.
If we'll surrender, God will use us. But we have to willingly surrender. Let's pray. Dear Father, we thank you this morning for the testimony of Abraham and what you did in his life. Lord, help us to be willing, to do whatever you want us to do, to go wherever you want us to go, that you might be glorified. Lord, help us people to see in our life where the Lamb is, what he's done in our life, and where he's taking us. Bless us now in our time of invitation. Use it for your glory and honor. We do ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.